Yo.
Can you hear me?
You listening to Hashtag W-A-W. What a week. What a week.
Week. Ata, welcome to another edition of Wow, What a Week. This week, hanging out with one of my favorite DJs, probably since just before 2010. In fact, in 2009, he won the News Cafe National DJ search. That's when me and this dude became close. He convinced me to move to Serato. He's been in IT. He's an athlete. He's one hell of a guy. He's collaborated with the likes of AKA, Anati, Nadia Nakai, Kid X, Muggs, Casper Nyovest. You name it, he has done it. And he's not done. In fact, Little Birdie says he might even be going back to school this week. Next on Wow, What a Week.
This is
Wow!
What a Week.
What a Week.
Celebrity guest.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and everyone in between, including the haters who just come here to see what's he doing today. Welcome to Wow, What a Week. Incredible dude. Please make some noise for, according to his birth certificate, Kagiso Mabelane. Not to be confused with Mabalane. That is... what's his name?
Puga Love, Kabelo.
Kabelo, Puga Two Shoes. Kagiso Mabelane, a.k.a. DJ Milkshake. He brings everybody to the yards, not just the girls, all the boys. Shiggity Shake.
What up, brother?
My dude, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good.
Thanks for joining us. Thank you for making the time.
Thank you. It's an honor and a pleasure, as always.
My dude, I have you here because I've been interviewing guys either because I'm your fan... or you've had an influence on my journey at some stage. And with you, it's both. So shout out to you.
No, thank you. I think I should be interviewing you if that was the criteria. For a fan, yeah. And you've had an influence. I know.
I think for now, let me be the guy who's doing this. Others want to end up going down on each other.
Ish.
But that's what this one sounds Ish. Like right now. It sounds like one big fellatio session right now. Anyway, you're one of the founding members of the VITS DJ Society, right?
Yeah.
How did you end up at VITS and why VITS? I mean, you had other options.
So after school, naturally, you know, in my times, you needed to do something with your life.
Sure.
And kiss girl, you know, parents are like, okay, cool. You're finishing school. What are you going to do?
Sure.
And I've always had a knack for, you know, computers, IT. So naturally for me, I was like, no, man.
Mm.
I'm from Soweto. There's VITS here. No, kholali rao at the time. But exactly. I was like, no, man.
Because my qualification is a rao qualification.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So at the time, I was like, no, VITS accepted me.
Sure.
And they had what I needed at the time. So I did a BCom information systems. That's what I registered for.
Yeah.
But they're like, no, man, look, you are here to study, but we do offer extracurricular activities.
Yes.
So you can join a society.
Karne,
man, nakarata music, I like to DJ.
Sure.
No, there's a... You know, there's all these musical societies, Bampadi Listi, can, you know, guys, I want a DJ. That's
sure.
what I mean.
Yeah.
But no, that doesn't exist.
Oh, wow.
So, but no, okay. So what you need to do is actually write to the dean and motivate why. And then if it's successful, then he can possibly then approve some budget so he can start this thing. And then off we went.
So it was you and who?
There was a few others. I found Spectacular there, actually.
Okay.
He was really one of the champion guys to really move with this thing because now I'm still new.
Yeah.
And he was already studying at VITS. So he helped actually champion this DJ society with a few other guys.
Mm.
And, you know, being the new guy, Linna Iga Biva, Ke Papa, I was like, no, but Linna, I want to, you know, help and
be a part of
this thing.
Yes,
and yeah, so there was a handful of us that really like moved with this thing.
Mm.
And yeah, it you know, helped us build a foundation with that. And yeah, one thing led to next.
And the rest is history.
Eesh.
Did you finish your qualification?
I didn't.
Okay.
I didn't. Well, when I first year, then what ended up happening is, I can explain.
Yeah.
See, what had happened was,
you
know, I got so involved with that DJ society and I kind of neglected my books.
Okay.
And that's where my priorities were. That's where my focus was.
Mm.
you know, to the point where I was even starting to do gigs during the week.
Oh, yes.
There were corporates, there were activations, there were all these things. And Nerutsura sound.
Sure.
So now we had music, we had sound, you know, it was still records at the time, you know, sure. Go to Soul Candy, go Rosebanke, bus was free from Wits for students. So, you know, everything, all the stars were aligning for us. So ended up doing all those gigs.
Yeah.
Flunked out. And then at the end of the year, I went to my folks. I was like, what's again? Thank you, ne? I had a kit bag, an Adidas kit bag full of cash.
Yeah.
And that I had made from the gigs.
Yeah.
And I gave it to my folks. I was like, thank you. Kise school fees.
So you refunded them their fees?
I refunded them their fees in cash.
What
I said, I'm off.
Yeah.
I'm going to do my thing. I'm going to try it out.
Yeah.
But well, clearly you have a plan. So yeah, go for it. And
oh, wow.
Yeah, we'll see you on the other side.
But you still ended up in IT though.
Definitely.
How did that happen?
So then during all of this, I still knew in the back of my head, Hor Norman, I still want to pursue this IT thing because, you know, to a large degree, it actually contributed to my DJing. You know, like you mentioned Serato and just technology in a lot of ways just seems to, you know, find its way. And in terms of our industry, you know, working on my laptop, downloading music, you know, Winamp, Shazam, all these things, Serato record box. So I explored all these things and I decided, okay, cool. While I'm still DJing, let me study Leunisa and I'll correspond.
Ah.
So then I registered while I was still DJing and I carried on doing that. And yeah, it didn't quite, you know, get to a point where I graduated, but I did get somewhere.
Okay, so you still have UNISA credits, though.
Definitely.
But you still ended up working in IT.
100%.
So that was on the strength of what you can do, not necessarily of the qualification.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, because I actually taught myself how to program when I was 13. You know, I used to break computers at home. Fortunately, you know, my dad had a computer, so I used to break, fix.
Yeah.
So by the age of 13, I was actually bored. I learned, you know, how to program in HTML. It's like a very basic language.
Yeah.
And I started, you know, hacking people.
Yeah.
I remember once I was in this chat room and I hacked some Arab guys. I don't know where they were, but yeah, in UAE somewhere. And I posted in their group.
Oh, wow.
That I love eating pork pies.
Yeah.
In that group, Yabone.
Oh, wow.
Within 5 minutes, they posted my personal information on the group. My name, surname, ID number, residential address, and ID number, bare. Don't mess with us.
Yeah.
I stopped that day.
Oh, wow. You hacked the wrong guys.
I hacked the wrong guys.
Because I remember you worked for one of the service providers at some stage, internet service providers.
Dimension Data, yeah.
Yeah.
I was there for a few years, yeah.
How would you say your time at Dimension Data helped shape the way you do things in your career and everything else that you do?
It actually, yeah. I'm actually grateful for the time I actually spent there because it taught me.
The reason I'm asking you is because the time you were deciding that you're done at Dimension Data, we had a conversation about that.
Yes.
Because you were not sure, do I hang up my modem and hang on to my headphones or do I keep having this parallel life?
True.
And I advised you that only you know if you're ready.
True, true. I actually had the conversation with two people, you know, who I looked up to greatly at the time, obviously you being one of them, and my boss at the time.
Yeah.
And she was quite a young lady.
Sure.
And I would come into the office after having done a gig, go Cape Town, you know, Sunday, take the red eye out, and then I'm in the office and I'm seeing clients with red eyes, you know?
Yeah.
And she sat me down. She's like, dude, you're kicking butt, you're doing well. But this can't go on, you know.
Yeah, it's not sustainable.
We know, Hore, you are an upcoming DJ. You're actually doing quite well because Lina, I see your moves.
Yeah.
But Liteng, it's just not good for you because you're not getting in any sleep. And it's, you know, I'm concerned, Hore, it's hampering your productivity. And as a mentor, I just think you should actually try and choose because you're young.
Yeah.
And you can afford to make certain mistakes, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, on the back of having spoken to you after saying all of that, then I was like, okay, no, thanks.
It's time.
It's time. Let me hang up my modem.
Yeah.
Got Swaradi headphones and I ran with that, you know. And fortunately, the stars did align a little bit for me because a little bit after that, then I got onto radio.
Oh, yes.
Yes. But just in terms of the foundation, the background that working in corporate gave me was really just conduct and understanding basic things, which I feel like a lot of people in our industry, the entertainment industry,
we take for granted.
We take for granted. Like, dude, you know, can we be professional? Can we conduct ourselves in a professional manner?
Sure.
You know, arrive on time. You know, how to speak properly. You know, how to plan for things. And not knowing, you know, what's going to happen tomorrow. And those things really, you know, helped me become who I am today, you know, in a major way.
Now, along your journey, you're making friends, you're connecting with people. And one of the people you connected with at a very deep level was Dumi, DJ Dimples.
Yeah.
Tell us about that relationship.
Okay, so we're all from the same neighborhood.
Yeah.
Ironically enough, including Bugalavu.
Oh, yes, that's true.
Yes. Yeah. So we're all from the same neighborhood and we're all age mates. So we didn't necessarily always grow up close.
Yeah.
But we're in the same neighborhood. We know each other. We know of each other. You know, Kitumi. Oh, okay, there's Kabelo. You know, Eita, Eita, Ola. So at Wits, we had both flunked out. So we were academically excluded because of fates.
It was a fail and exclude for me also.
100%.
At law school.
So we decided, hey, okay, so Rona, we were from the commerce side.
Yeah.
Let's go and try and register for Bachelor of Arts. Because at the time, Rona was like, arts is lahlile, anybody can get into arts. So now it's just a whole lot of us in that queue, your arts, and we're like, let's a BA something, and I will figure it out. Yeah. And we started talking in the line, no man, hey, let's try this thing, try and register there, and it didn't work out. So at the time, I didn't have a car, he had a car. He's this didn't work out for us, we'll just go chill and figure this thing out. Then from there, he's like, Joe, I saw you doing this DJ thing.
Yeah.
You know what, I've got a bit of cash saved up, I wanna get involved, what do you think I should do? Then he bought some CDJs at the time, you know, it was a whole set. You know, I kind of showed him how to work it, one or two things. And then we just ended up spending a whole lot of time together playing on his CDJs. And to me, like, he couldn't, funny enough, you know, I learned how to play on vinyl, playing house. To me, learned how to play on CDs, playing hip hop. I tried to teach him how to play using house. He couldn't grasp. My hip hop on.
It's weird. Even like my 9-year-old has been doing DJ lessons.
Yeah.
And he's gravitating towards hip hop.
It was weird.
And I blame TikTok for that.
Hey.
So Dino Bravo is his sensei.
Yeah. Oh, the legend.
So he's using hip hop because they could have gone amapiano, they could have gone house.
I think if it's in your head, it's in your head.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that happened. And that's literally how we got close, because then we never got accepted COVID. So we had like a gap year.
Yeah.
He had a job. Lynn and I went to get my 9-to-5, carry on. But we're still DJing. So in our free time, we just carry on, you know, doing gigs, became closer and closer and closer and started building on certain concepts, i.e. the birth of Pop Bottles eventually.
Absolutely.
Came from our time together, you know.
Tell us the personal side of your relationship, Litumi, because you guys were tight as fuck, though.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, literally, yeah. Like I mentioned, you know, we found ourselves in the same situation at similar times of our lives. So we were experiencing very similar things together, you know. We became brothers through and through from the same neighborhood. Our parents knew each other, siblings, everything. So just simply by virtue of us always being together, we became very, very close. And it was weird because our personalities were quite the opposites, you know.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, I'm quite a lively, outspoken guy, know, I'm all over. And to me is... the other side, you know. Very introverted. He used to actually call
very,
himself...
Very, don't make me bump you with my chest.
Yeah. And Wabana that look. Wabana that look that he had. That look, Kore, don't approach me. King Khafar in Afrikaans. You know, like, yo, don't approach me, don't talk to me. I'm on my phone, I'm in the zone. And that was him. But sweetest guy ever, if you ever got to know him. You know, friendly giant, big friendly giant. And I think, he used to call himself an extroverted introvert. Arjo, I like going out and being around people, but I don't want people too close to me.
Yeah, I want to be with the people, but I don't want the people to be with me.
Yeah, good, that's it. I want to be out there with the people, but that's it.
Let me tell you why it makes sense, because I always tell people, I'm in the wrong industry for the kind of person I am.
Yeah.
I don't like people.
That's it.
I find people draining. I find people petty. I find people flawed. I just don't like human beings. But because of the work that I do, I'm forced to deal with people.
Absolutely.
And one thing you need to learn, because of this industry, because we choose to make people fall in love with us.
Yes.
You need to realize that it's not their fault that they fell in love with you.
Yes.
So you need to make the time for those people. You need to make sure that when a person says, listen, a hug or an autograph, or can you sign this for my child? You have a responsibility to that person.
To do that.
Because you made them fall in love with you.
Regardless of whether you've got a plate in front of you and you're about to take a bite of your food.
Although people need to learn boundaries.
Like that.
So for me to go out there, it's actually a task.
Yes.
And I have to gather my social bundles. So when you know, people think, yeah, you're patient, you've got time with people, you'd have no idea how much energy it draws from me.
Absolutely.
Just to wear that smile.
Absolutely.
But it's worth it.
It's huge. Worth it. Of course. Yeah. You take it all.
So I understand what Dumi means by I'm an extroverted introvert.
Absolutely.
That wants to be at the people, but I wish the people were not at me.
That's it. He was that guy, you know.
So we're all in the same WhatsApp group, like a whole bunch of us. And I remember when Dumi collapsed at an event, we were all in the group as it happened.
Yes.
Where were you?
I was at the club. So yeah. That day, funny enough, we were at the same gig at different times.
Yeah.
So he had the earlier set, I think 9 to 10.
Mm.
And then I played midnight.
Sure.
So we spoke earlier on in the evening, I'll miss you, but I'll check you later. Maybe we'll go out together and, you know, bump into each other at the club once we finish our gigs. So he left that gig, Kosoweto, went to the East Rand to his other gig. And then I then went to that Soweto gig, played my set. And then when I was done, I went to the club, hoping, okay, he'll call me like, hey, dude, where you at? We'll meet up. And then 3 a.m., now I'm in the club, you know, ahead of you. And then I see a text from one of our close friends, Glenn. And he's like, yo, dude, to me collapsed at this gig, go East Rand where he was, you know? But we're not sure what it was, but we just rushed him off to hospital. So then I go outside. I'm like, hey, man, now, what's going on? You know, how bad is it? What's going on? Should I just make my way there? He's like, no, it's not that crazy. We're not sure what it is, but hang 10. I'll phone you. I'll let you know. But if anything, yeah, just take it easy. Don't stress. So then... Lynn, I didn't panic too much at the time, speaking to one of our friends. And then I was like, yeah, okay, cool. I'll see this in the morning. And then, yeah, that's when things really just started, went down.
Because it was weird.
Mm.
Because, like I said, I mean, I remember we're all chatting in the DJ box. We're panicking.
Yeah.
But we're being told, no, don't panic. He's in hospital. Everything's been taken care of.
That's it.
How jiggy-jiggy things have turned again.
You know, within hours.
Yeah.
Within hours. Because I remember waking up later that morning. And yeah, I remember I was actually catching up Liz Pizza.
Yeah.
Because we were at the club together at the time.
Absolutely.
And we're like, oh, dude, I'm so hungover. And funny enough, it was Glenn's 40th that day.
Sure.
The guy who had phoned me. And I saw on that WhatsApp group, no, man, Glenn's 40th has now just been canceled randomly on the day off. So I saw that. I was like, hey, you know, Speedy, this is weird. I just got Glenn's cancellation. But yeah, let's see what happens. Then another message comes in from Glenn. Glenn calls me like, yo, dude, Dumi's no more. And I was like, wow.
Yeah.
And yeah.
For those that might not fully grasp it, what is the hip-hop nation and SA entertainment at large lost in losing Dumi?
Wow. They've lost, you know, somebody who was literally right there at the birth of SA hip hop. I think, and I say this to a lot of people, excuse me. You know, a lot of us were there when SA hip hop was born. You know, we literally saw it. I wouldn't necessarily go as far as saying I gave birth to it, but I was there in its infancy, you know, paying homage to a lot of legends, you know, Bo Amo, Prophets of the City and the likes. But, you know, we were there in the beginning. Myself and Dumi were there. We saw how a lot of the guys were putting in a lot of work and effort. And fast forward to a lot of things happening, you know, the birth of a lot of SA hip hop DJs, because at the time there were less than 10 of us when we were DJing.
Yeah.
you know, fast forward to today when there's, you know, a whole lot of guys. Fast forward to when DJ started releasing music, to hip hop events, we've literally seen everything. And to lose someone like Dumi is like losing an icon, you know, in my eyes, in terms of hip hop, as big as a Hugh Masekela, you know, Mama Miriam, you know, because I believe Dumi is that great. We've lost so much. We've lost, you know, a legend, literally somebody who can tell stories, some stories I may have even have forgotten myself. And yeah, it was really a huge blow to the industry, to the hip hop industry, to the SA music industry, because, you know, SA hip hop, little, now we made it our own in our own way.
Yes.
You know, we find that. And yeah, absolutely. He was literally a giant, you know, no pun intended, in the industry. And it was a huge loss for us.
What's the one conversation you had with Dimples that you've never forgotten?
Okay, it's not one. It was a conversation we always had.
Yeah.
You know, he's always said to me, look, dude, you know, I fell in love with music. I fell in love with DJing. But I always believe, like, it's not really my calling like that.
Yeah.
I believe it's a step towards something bigger, something else for myself.
Yeah.
And we were always having that debate up until we started doing events.
Yeah.
Up until we started Pop Bottles.
Yeah.
And we would always fight about that because Dumi would always hold back when it came to DJing. You know, I would always want to play a very energetic set, play all the hits, make sure people are just up there and the energy's up there. And I felt like Dumi was always holding back. He was always trying to sort of tee me up and sort of not really put himself up there. And we would always go back and forth about that. I'm like, dude, come on, you know, get on my level. Come
let's
with
go.
Me.
Let's go.
Let's do this.
Yeah.
In fact, you might remember at some point we had a trio with VG.
I was about to ask, how did the trio work? Because all three of you are different things.
Yes.
You know
yes.
what I mean? One is water, one is oil, and one is diesel.
Oh, one. So it was just one of those things. And those quarrels, those fights, those debates also, you know, permeated when we were doing MVD. Hey, man, let's take this direction with the set. No, there's that. But funny enough, we made it work.
Yeah.
It was lovely.
Yeah.
So that's really just the one thing, Jorge. You know, he always knew, you know, his vision, his path,
sure.
where he wanted to go. And I didn't necessarily always understand that because kapap,
sure.
you know. But, you know, looking back, it's one of those things in my head. I'm like, yo, I really appreciated that. And the guy always knew where he was going. He had a plan.
Speaking of making partnerships work, here's another partner of yours.
Yo, big dog, movie magic, as I call Shake. I remember listening to DJ Milkshake.
Why is his... Okay, so that's Speedster. I don't know why his voice note is glitchy, but let's load it again. Yeah, like I said, speaking of making relationships work, this is Speedster.
Yo, big dog, movie magic. As I call Shake, I remember listening to DJ Milkshake on the Ultimix at 6. Yeah, man. I got to meet my idol. I got to meet my idol, who became a brother, a friend, a business partner. One of the most genuine people I've ever met in my life. One of the most inspiring people I have ever met in my life. In many ways, a lot of people see him or know him as movie, you know, going crazy, playing the hippity hop, jumping up and down. But there's so many other layers to the man. I could go on for days. I could go on for days. 2 minutes isn't enough. But thank you, Uncle Fresh, for getting him out the house to finally do an interview. I know that must have been a mission. Yeah, man, movie. We've been through it all, brother. dark times, good times. I'm lost for words, man. Love you loads, brother. Love you loads. Let's keep going.
DJ Speedstar, tell us about that relationship. Tell us about No Comply.
Hey.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, hey, Speedstar, ne? What a character.
Yeah.
Met him when he was about 16 years old.
Yeah, we all did.
Yeah. all thanks to his elder brother. So I'm age mates.
That's
yeah.
Soul Kid, if you don't know who Speedstar's brother is. Yeah.
Absolutely. So around the times that I was starting to DJ, I was friends with his elder brother. He was at Rao, I was at Wits.
Yes.
So we always had that bit of conflict because Le Temba, Euphonic, and the likes of DJ Frankie, anyway, they were all at Rao at Wits. So yeah, that's how that
little
started.
Rivalry, yeah.
Yeah, so fast forward to obviously meeting Speedstar eventually through his brother, and that was an amazing relationship. He was just an irritating kid, you know, who was just passionate, and he was a fan and all of that. And I enjoyed that because, you know, that's what comes with the territory. But eventually I could see Khurlene was quite serious about the DJing thing, and he eventually moved to Joburg from the Vaal. And, you know, as a hip-hop guy, I obviously naturally gravitated towards him and enjoying his energy because I could see he was really passionate about what he was doing. So I offered a bit of mentorship. You know, we started talking a whole lot more. And he grew older and older. He grew into the man he is today. And we just had so many synergies and we connected in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
You know, to a point where Lena, he felt, Hornoman, you know, I left radio, you know, at some point, and I was really just focusing on doing DJ gigs and a lot of other things and music. And he was really getting to the peak of his career. You know, sure. He was on TV. He was doing a whole lot of things. And he suggested that, hey, perhaps we should collaborate. Why? Because you and Dimples and Vigi are not necessarily doing this MVD thing. And me and you have a lot of, you know, synergies in terms of the energy.
And often you're at the same events anyway.
Absolutely. Yeah. So it's like, yeah, let's do this thing. Let's try it. Let's see where it takes us. And that's basically where No Comply, you know, started. And we agreed to go about it. And you know, here we are today. And, you know, I'm grateful for that. Yeah.
So if I hire you for my gig and I hire No Comply for my gig, am I getting two different sets?
Absolutely. We'd always said to people, No Comply is literally a performance. It's an act. A lot of people will say, yeah, but we'll just book you and Speedstar separately. And then Alifitara,
you can do the thing.
You'll join forces.
So it's three totally different brands.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Because, you know, there are times where a DJ Speedstar, you know, will play a lovely R&B set.
Yes.
And, you know, if you know, you know.
I saw that on O Ship about 7 years ago.
Absolutely.
We hired Speedstar to come and do hip hop, and he came in with this nice girly R&B. And the girls loved it.
And he
was like,
that,
I see you, dog.
Exactly. And it's something you won't necessarily experience, you know, from a No Comply perspective.
Yeah. Yeah. No Comply Ranyisa.
That's it. We're going up. Energy is up there. So, absolutely. So, No Comply set is literally a performance. We plan, we strategize, and we execute in a certain way that's very different from our individual sets.
Managing different personalities within a duo or a trio, where you might be in a good mood today, he's in a bad mood, we're going on the road, now we're stuck together in a combi. I mean, there's a time you even called me because you guys' relationship was literally living on the edge there.
Hey, I remember that day.
How do you navigate such, where we have to work together, but we're also friends, but we also know so much about each other, we could get on each other's nerves, but the job must get done because the money has been paid.
It's it takes a lot of maturity, I'll say that. And
at least one of you is.
Well, zoom in, you can see the gray hairs here somewhere.
Oh, fuck.
So, it's taken, you know, a lot of patience, I think, particularly from my side, because I'm the older one.
Sure.
And I suppose he's the Beyonce when it comes to the two of us. So, you know, just literally being able to say...
Then you're Patti LaBelle then, Beyonce, or you're Aretha Franklin.
Oh,
so you must still step up.
You must still step up, exactly.
Yeah.
So it's just really just being able to be patient, sure. and know there's a bigger machinery at work. There's a bigger goal at work here. I can tell them off. I can, you know, tune them live right there and then. But the bigger man in me, the more mature man in me knows there's certain times and places for certain things.
Yes.
Excuse me. So rather just pack it and then you'll discuss it and also allow the young men to grow, because Linna, there was a time where I was Linna just doing the most, and I had certain people like yourself to be able to guide me and, you know, reel me in and say, no, like this, like that. Sure. And that's literally what helped a lot during those times where
Yeah, because I've been on the road with you in SA, but we've also done Miami together.
Yes.
And you can be a handful.
Absolutely.
But speech, that can be a real handful.
Yeah, no. Madness.
So what do you think saved the relationship at that time where you're even calling me to say, help, what do we do? Because you guys carried on. The road you continued.
I think at the time it was, look, there's a lot of things that I do in my life that require a lot of discipline.
Sure.
As I'm going to give you an example. I enjoy working out. I enjoy going to the gym.
And golf.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. One of the few. So
I'm not chasing 18 holes. I'm sorry. But he would chase 18 holes.
I really will.
And kick ass at it.
I really will.
Yeah.
You know, at all these things. So I know how to, I'm quite good at compartmentalizing certain things in my life and knowing if I'm focusing on this,
yes, sir.
This needs my focus, this needs all of my focus, and I'm not going to sway from the plan. You know, if I'm leaving the club at 3 a.m. and I know that I need to be running on the road or in the gym at 5 a.m, that's most likely what I will do.
He will do that.
You know, so just looking back at, you know, me being able to achieve that kind of helped on the road with myself and Speedster knowing, okay, it's time to focus on No Comply. It's time to focus on work and not let anything else get in the way of that.
Yeah.
I was able to really, you know, fine tune and focus and even be able to motivate the team.
Yeah.
Because even our manager at the time, I think I even told you, he caught some smoke. The drivers, go to everybody.
I'm laughing because guys, that was drama. It No Comply.
There was a lot.
Wasn't your manager smacked at some stage?
Twice.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, the guy caught hands, you know, more than once.
You know,
and, you know, even the drivers are getting, you know, everybody got a piece of Speedster, you know.
But I think being a dad has brought him down a notch.
Oh, absolutely.
Because I'm seeing a different man now.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. In a lot of ways, funny enough. I was actually at a gig with Lulo Cafe recently.
Yeah.
And because they are also from, you know, the same neighborhood.
And the Val,
Wabona. So Libona, they're quite close. And we're actually talking about Speedster, how he's actually, you know, grown to become the man he is today and how he's matured in a lot of ways. So it was lovely to hear that. But we all know Marangi.
Where we're from.
Hey, we know what we're dealing with.
Yeah.
So it was lovely to see that and share. Jorge.
Sure. One thing I appreciate about you is your ability to not only nurture young talent, but also not to be afraid to let people in if you're able to guide them, if you're able to be the sifu, even if just for a moment. And that's what I love and appreciate about you. Here's another person that has received a bit of guidance from Sheikh.
Hi, this is your girl, Juhana, and I'm here to talk about who Milkshake is and what is a very much Sheikh moment, or what was a very much Sheikh moment for me. Milkshake, we met in 2023 and he started calling me Trap Selena because we had a residency in Rosebank. So we were there almost every week together and, you know, hear each other's sets, hype each other up. You know, he's a real, real hype man. That's for sure, a real hype man and a real rock star. He started calling me Trap Selena, and you know what? We became friends and till today, he shocked me the most, I'll say. Like, honestly, knowing him as a rock star, this year he was like, no. He taught me what discipline looks like with the break he was on, the 75-day challenge. And I was like, wow, you know, like, you can always not just be like a rock star. He gave me a real shook, very much shake. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, he can be that too. Like, he can really be grounded, disciplined, and put his mind onto something. And then can be a real rock star. One thing about Milkshake. He's a cool nigga. He's cool and all. But yeah, that is very much, that is who Milkshake is to me. Like, he's such a cool, dude.
Let's talk about Rihanna. Yes. Let's talk about the scene right now.
Yep.
Because as much as we're seeing a lot of, especially girls, jumping onto the DJ bandwagon, playing amapiano, the girls who are coming at hip-hop on some, hold my beer, I got this.
Oh, yeah.
And Rihanna's one. We had her on Old Ship in November last year.
Yes.
And she kicked ass.
Yeah. Actually, yeah, I spoke to her just before she got on. Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that was, yeah, so Rihanna is just, yeah, she shocked me. You know, when I met her, she shocked me. I had always, you know, come across her just on the socials.
Yeah.
Because, you know, she blew up quite big.
Sure.
I think she was just, you know, she's hella gorgeous. Mm. Wow. You know, she was doing her fashion thing there. And then Jiggy Jiggy 1212, I see that she's a DJ. And not only do I see she's a DJ on the socials.
Sure.
I listened to her set. Mm. And I was like, you.
She, no, she rocks the crowd.
You,
yeah.
You know, what's going on here? Who's this? What's this? What's going on? And sure. I didn't know her personally at the time. And just from there, I was a fan.
Sure.
Literally, I became a fan. And now I'm not shy to be fair, to be a fan to anyone that, you know, I genuinely love and appreciate. You know, I was like, please, let's connect. I'd like to come to listen to all your sets.
Sure.
And I love what you're doing. And literally from there, you know, she grew from strength to strength.
Yeah.
I really don't want to take any credit for, you know, for her. Her career or anything like that. All I did was just be there.
Sure.
You know, I was literally just there.
But you know that just be there often is the difference for a lot of people between taking my how good I am to how great I can become.
Oh, yeah.
That simple cosign that Shake was there during that set is what gives me enough fuel to move on to the next one. Because a lot of DJs are going through so much shit. That set they're doing for them is, after this, maybe I must stop.
Yeah.
After this, maybe I should move back home.
Oh, yeah.
It's not working out for me anymore. So having a Shake next to you, you might think, oh, all I did was show up.
Yeah.
But for all you know, you were the ramp that took them to that next moment, to that next milestone.
Oh,
so
yeah.
don't take it lightly, being present when a youngster is playing.
Appreciate that. I honestly didn't look at it that way.
Yeah.
Now I was just, you know, I was just astounded by this young girl, you know, who was kicking ass.
Sure.
And, you know, little did I know, Jorge, you know, that cosign or that association, you know,
it's all the
was helping
bro.
Her because at some point we did even share a residency, even at Konka.
You played back to back at Konka, remember?
Absolutely. We had, you know, I mean, that's arguably one of the biggest stages, you know, you can play on as a DJ. I know that. And particularly a place like that, there's only one hip-hop set.
Yeah.
So you've got to show up.
Absolutely. Oman.
And she was right there with me doing, you know, doing her thing, sharing the stage. So, you know, shout out to Driana.
I mean, every Wednesday, Vinny and Chris play with Greg, musical maestro, at Saint.
Yes.
And I'm playing with Christos at Saint this Wednesday.
Wow.
And every time I play with Christos, I'm nervous, not because I doubt myself, but because of the high regard with which I hold him. You know what I mean? When I was a 19-year-old, stars in my eyes, he gave me just the one moment to have a chat.
Okay, so
after I played open set for him. So those little cosigns of being in the same room, being on the same flyer, that shit goes a long way.
Now you know how I've been feeling this entire interview. I'm shaking in my boots. Can I shake up, boss? I mean, people have no idea. I mean,
but you know. Shake, it's so good. So you're also an athlete.
Ish.
And I want to call you an athlete because that's what it is, though. You know, often we have people who go to gym. You've gone past I go to gym phase to athleticism. Let's talk about that journey quickly.
Yeah. Look, I've always been an athlete, you know, throughout school. You know, everybody played all the sports. But just a bit of background, I did quite fall in love with basketball at a young age, I think 12, 13.
Yeah.
Played a whole lot of basketball, made it to, you know, provincial, national level during high school. And then when I got to varsity, you know, as I've mentioned, the DJ bug, you know, sort of took over. Then I stopped working out altogether.
Sure.
To a point where I started picking up a lot of weight and I was just not healthy. And in 2011, I lost my mom.
I remember the period.
I lost my mom to cancer, and it was in a similar time that Steve Jobs passed away. And one of the things that hit me at the time, I was like, wow, you know, my mom was just a normal working lady, you know, she was a nurse. And I was like, Steve Jobs is like one of the richest guys in the world. They both passed from cancer. The guy with all the money in the world couldn't necessarily buy his health. So I said to myself, this is, you know, an eye opener. Try and focus on your health. And I just decided to, you know, get back to being healthy and working out and trying to give myself a better chance at life.
Yes.
You know, and sort of, so for me, that was the beginning of everything. I took it to the extreme.
In fact, you even went as far as starting a fitness WhatsApp group for your DJ friends.
Yes.
That we were all in.
Yeah, we were all in there. That was actually quite fun. You know, I try to encourage all my peers, people around me to be fit, to be healthy. Yeah, I was doing quite extreme things. I don't know if I can talk about it, but
I
walked to Rustenburg once.
Yeah.
So it was just in solidarity, I think. Part of a dream my parents had, you know, before they passed on was to build a school from out there. We have a lot of family there that we've supported through the years.
Yeah.
And all the kids in rural areas, like any other place, walk long distances to school and back, you know, amongst all the challenges. And so I decided in solidarity on my mom's birthday to walk to Rustenburg, which was,
I remember that wild walk.
Yeah, it was one hell of a thing I did. I'll never do it again, though.
Arriving in Rustenburg, you're walking for mom.
Yeah.
Take us through those emotions when you got to the checkered flag.
That was crazy. I remember it was just after 1 a.m. because we left at midnight, so it was myself and my brother.
Yeah.
We did the walk together, and we obviously had a mini support crew, like a car with supplies and, you know, take a break, get massages. But it was very emotional for us at the time because even on the way, we had our phones on.
Yeah.
You know, journalists were calling us, radio stations for interviews and that. I mean, that was cool. That was great for the first 12 hours. And then, you know, getting closer to about 100Ks. Because not at the time, I was already quite a fit guy. I was healthy and all of that. But my brother, not so much. So he sort of tapped out just before 100Ks. And, you know, those 100Ks, I was like, yo, dude, even if you tap out, it's okay because you've done more than a comrades marathon with no training. Understand? And this is like in the middle of the night, it's dark, it's freezing. And my brother's like, dude, my body is just, I can't do this. I'm like, you know, that's when it really started weighing heavily on me as the firstborn brother. Now I'm big brother. I'm like, yo, no, I can't fuck up now.
Yeah.
So that last 30 kilometers was really, really, you know, it's been emotional because I'm with my brother the whole time. We're doing this for mom. But now I'm like, yo, it's just you now, bro. Yeah. So you really need to show up here. And I think from then, my body was messed up as well.
Yeah.
But it was just my mind.
Sure.
Yeah, it was my mind and just my emotions. And yeah, all of that just getting me to the finish line. I just couldn't. I was stopping every 2-3 kilometers just to try and get a massage. Put some, you know, lotion on, whatever it is I could get.
But I guess that's also where the discipline comes in.
Oh, yeah.
The discipline is your mind telling your body that we're going to do that thing that you say it's about to kill you.
Oh, yeah.
But it's your mind saying, no, fuck that, we're doing this.
Oh, absolutely.
And a lot of us don't have that. A lot of us don't have that for basic things.
Nope.
Where your mind must convince the rest of you that we are doing this because it's part of the bigger picture.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think... I think for me, that's like I mentioned, that's one of the things I'm so grateful for that I have in my personality, is being able to focus on something, to have a certain level of discipline, because I don't really give up.
Yeah.
You know, I can remember on the few things I've given up on, but I typically don't. Nah, I'd rather die in the fight.
Mm.
I'm that kind of guy. So that level of discipline is really that. And I remember particularly doing some endurance sports like cycling, long distance. I think we've done an Argus together. Yeah.
You carried me during the Cape Argus cycle challenge. I had a pinched nerve. But I was like, fuck it, I'm going to Cape Town and I'm going to cycle. Because I was doing CrossFit at the time. And those that know CrossFit, sometimes you get a random injury. Your rotator cuff will just say, sorry, guy, we're not lifting this, but you lift it anyway. I had a pinched nerve, and I was like, I'm going to do the Argus anyway. 100%. This dude carried me.
Yeah.
There were uphills where I'm like, I've got nothing in the tank. Shake pushed me up the hill, cycling. My dude.
I think, at the time, you were probably even like double my weight or something. But we
did. I weighed about 130 at the time.
Yeah, we did that. I remember I was like 66, 67.
Yeah.
We really did that, you know. And so, you know, speaking of that discipline, knowing that with endurance sports or with anything that really requires, you know, you to dial in for the long road.
Yeah.
It takes a lot more than your physical, ability.
Sure.
Your mind has to kick in at some point, and that's all you rely on.
Yeah.
And exactly to that point, you know, being able to do all these long distance runs or cycles, and, you know, I was able to dial into that, you know, something that I think, you know, with age, just maturity, growing, you realize that eventually, and that's typically a life lesson today.
Sure.
You know, what your mind can achieve, you know, it's mind-blowing, literally.
We often rag, well, at least us non-golf players, often rag golf players about you have too much time on your hands. You know what I mean? You're chasing a little white ball for 18 holes the whole day, you're in the sun, blah, 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 blah. But there are probably more life lessons to learn from golf than from most sporting codes.
Yes.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah, too many, actually. So it was actually weird how I got into golf, because my dad used to play golf, and I just wasn't interested. I wasn't.
Your old man was a G, though. May his soul rest in peace.
Yeah.
What a G, man.
That guy was just easy, you know. And he really, he used to beat the shit out of me. I'm not going to lie. But, you know, the older I got, like, we became boys.
Yeah.
Like, he was so chilled with me. He let me do whatever it is I want. And because I think he knew, let me let this guy fuck up so that he can come back to me and tell me.
Yeah.
Korea, okay, dinsang. And then we'd sit down and be like, oh, damn, okay.
Yeah.
This is what it's like. So he used to play. Eventually, then a few of my friends that I had made through varsity and the like started playing. They invited me once, and that's how the bug bit. But golf is literally, you're out there, you're walking a few hours on a golf course, you're hitting a white ball, but that's not it. You're spending time with somebody for half the day.
Yeah.
You've got to interact with this person, and they are watching how you are getting frustrated when you miss a shot, when you hit a bad shot, when you lose your ball, and this guy is like this. And you sort of,
especially if you're negotiating a business deal,
that's it.
How they play golf will often tell you how the partnership in business might pan out.
100%. Because that frustration, is like, all right.
Do they have grace under pressure?
You know, that's it.
Yeah.
That's it. And it's such a difficult sport because it's all mental.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't matter how fit and strong you are. It doesn't equate to you being a good golf player. You get the most out of shape guys that will kick your ass on a golf course.
Yeah.
So it's one of those. And weirdly enough, yes, it's deemed an elitist sport.
Mm.
And I've met some really well-off people, well-established people, you know, from all different walks of life on the golf course.
Yeah.
And weirdly enough, today I now realize, you know, through talking to some of those people, you know, what it really means to be wealthy.
Yes.
And what's interesting and what I've sort of learned is that being wealthy is not necessarily like being able to have a lot of money or just free access to things. But they said to me, for the mere fact that you are able to come and play golf.
Mm-hmm.
You know, regardless of your financial standing, you are in charge of your time.
Sure.
That's wealth.
Yeah.
And, you know, those are some of the things, those are some of the life lessons that I've learned. You know, how you react to an inanimate object like a golf ball.
Sure.
You know, getting frustrated. We're not getting paid to play the sport.
Mm.
We're just hanging out as friends or colleagues or associates. Mm. You know, enjoy the time that you're there after the round. You know, forget about it and we carry on, have a drink.
Mm.
Absolutely.
And no matter how bad your game of golf was today, tomorrow is another day.
That's it. Yeah. You play one shot at a time.
Yeah.
Yeah, you forget about it, play the next.
Yeah.
That's it.
Tomorrow is a clean slate.
Absolutely.
And we all need to learn that.
Absolutely.
Because many of us carry our yesterdays with us to tomorrow.
Yeah.
And then they cloud what the next day is going to look like because we're still here.
Absolutely. We can't be living in the past.
No.
You have to learn. Okay.
Let
I hit that bad shot. I had that bad break. But now I've got this in front of me.
Yeah.
Let me look forward to this. Absolutely. You can't live like that. You can't play like that.
Mm.
And it's huge in life.
Sure.
You know, you wake up, it's a blessing.
So the other day in the WhatsApp group, we were talking about October.
Yes.
And wanting to travel to Europe and party and who will be where in October. Let's all meet.
Yes.
You're like, sorry, guys, I've got High Rocks. I can't join you guys.
Yeah, I can't. I can't join you
Firstly,
guys.
What on earth is High Rocks? And secondly, why are you so committed to High Rocks that when we say, let's go to Europe and party in October, you're like, I'd rather be an athlete right now.
Ish. Hard, innit? So, High Rocks is a sport.
Yeah.
It's quite new. It's one of these new sporting crazes, similar to war paddle and the likes. And it's really taken the fitness industry by storm because it takes ball running and CrossFit and sort of puts them all in one thing.
Mm.
That's how I can equate it to. But yeah, it's a sport that includes running and lifting weights and a lot of functional movements. So they've created a competition, a sport out of it. And they have events now in South Africa, Joburg, Cape Town. So I'd been training at the gym, you know, the gym where I like to do classes. They have a High Rocks class. And
yes.
Training with the guys, they're like, are you doing High Rocks? Are you doing High Rocks? No. I'm just gymming because I'm just gymming, you know. And ever since, funny enough, you know, I was doing, you know, cycling events and all of that. I haven't necessarily trained for anything ever.
Yes.
I've just been, you know, healthy, trying to just, you know, be fit.
Yeah.
So there I then decided after the High Rocks event, no man, let me try this thing.
Yeah.
And it's been a while since I've actually had a certain fitness goal.
Mm.
So I registered for High Rocks in Cape Town. It's going to happen sometime later on in the year. So I was like, yeah, okay, let me do this. I've committed. I've already booked my flights. I booked my flights before. The tickets aren't even on sale.
Yeah.
But I booked my flights already and
sure.
I've planned. I'm doing this thing and I'm training towards it. Not because I'm trying to win or anything, but I want to kick ass, yes.
Okay, so in a nutshell, for those that don't know what a typical High Rocks class looks like.
Yeah.
So what, you do like a sled push?
Yeah, so there's about 8 exercises, and after each exercise, you have to run 1 kilometer. So,
okay, so you do an exercise,
yes,
and then you run 5 kilometer,
yes,
to rest.
Yeah, correct. So you'll take some. So some of the exercises are like burpees. You do like a burpee, but you will do a burpee and then jump forward.
Okay, so
for like 80 meters, doing that burpee and then jump forward. It's a burpee broad jump, and then after that.
Run for a kilometer.
Run a kilometer.
Then you come back. And you do something else.
Then you do like a sled push.
Okay.
Those are weights on the sled and you push them for like 50 meters.
And it's heavy.
Yeah.
Then you run a kilometer.
And then you run a kilometer. And you do that 8 times. So you do a K, sled push, come back, do something else. And then, that's what High Rocks is. And that's what I'm looking forward to. I'm excited. I can't wait.
We'll be in Europe, dude. We'll send you a text or something.
Yeah, no, get Instagram.
Let's talk about the game because we're out of time. Let's talk about the game because there have been a lot of debates. Is hip-hop dead? Is there a hip-hop dead? Is the scene dead? Has Amapiano killed hip-hop and house? Is hip-hop in South Africa dead? Because I don't think it ever left the room.
Short answer, no.
Yeah.
Of course not. I mean, it's impossible.
Yeah.
It's like saying, is Guaito dead? No, hell no.
Sure.
You know, I don't believe an up form, a culture, you know, can actually die. Like anything, like any wave at any time, everything has its time and everything goes through its motions.
Okay.
So simply put, no. And I believe that hip hop is in a very, very, very exciting space right now.
Mm.
2025 has seen, you know, a lot of things happening.
As you can hear in the background, it's raining because those are hip hop blessings.
Yeah. Well,
it's the good Lord's like, Gabriel, watch this.
Absolutely. 2025 hip hop, baby, rain on us. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've been through a whole lot of phases. You know, I'm not even going to go back and talk about what I've seen, what I've experienced.
Yeah.
But I will definitely say that 2025 is a very exciting year for hip hop so far, from what I've experienced, from what I'm looking forward to.
Yeah.
And yes, there has been some dips, you know, throughout the years. And I believe that people that haven't necessarily seen a lot and sort of treaded the waters and sort of drowned nyana here and there will easily say hore hip hop is dead.
Sure.
You know, I haven't heard too many, you know, OGs saying hore hip hop is dead, because we typically know hore, hey, we've been there, we've done that, we've seen things, you know. So absolutely not.
What do you feel SA hip hop is lacking or not doing enough of?
I really wish that the young bucks, the younger generation, would connect more with the older generation. You know, connect more. I, on my side, feel like there's a huge disconnect.
Okay.
So from my perspective, and I'll say that again, my perspective, I feel like it's becoming a lot more difficult to connect with the younger generations. I feel like at times they're very, you know, it's hard to get through to them. It's a bit of a challenge.
Okay.
Because
What if they say to you, but why do you want us to listen to you? What are you going to say to us?
Well, that's exactly it, you know. Yeah. And I wish that, and it, you know, true, because vele vele, what do I think I know it all? Do I have it all figured out? No.
Because they want to say to you.
Absolutely.
You've had your time. It's our time now. Let us do it how we want to do it.
Absolutely.
Why do you want to be squeezed in?
Yeah. And when I'm like, show us, kren, what you have. Where's your what, you know? So for me, I think that's the biggest thing, that synergy between the older generation and the younger generation isn't, you know, at a level that I feel like is, you know, satisfactory, at least to be able to build a lot more. I compare it to other genres. I look at the amapiano scene or the dance music scene at large, you know, call it house, amapiano, where I see a lot more collaboration.
Yes. There's a relationship.
Absolutely. I see that.
The ecosystem has a thread.
Absolutely. Yeah. I see a lot of connections. You know, for example, look at the likes of you, look at the likes of Oskido, being able to still, you know, work and collaborate with the current generation, the current younger crop. I don't see enough of that in hip hop. You know, it's there. I just don't see enough of that. So I believe that's, if there was one thing I could really try and shine a light on, is that.
Let's talk the importance of, you know, a show like The Hip Hop Floor that Speeds just started curating, but probably a year ago, if not slightly longer.
Oh, yeah.
Because I remember when he started The Hip Hop Floor, you know, I had a conversation with him about how what you're doing is not only important for the scene, but what you're doing needs to be a radio show, needs to be a TV show.
Yes.
And my heart smiled when in March, Speedster sent me a voice note saying, Uncle, I'm back on radio.
Yes.
Uncle, this thing will be on TV on Channel O.
Yes.
And I was like, wow.
Yes. Yes. I think it's humongous, because just platforms need it, and hip hop need those platforms, because we don't have enough hip hop platforms typically in the media space. You know, we don't have radio stations that are dedicated to hip hop, you know, hoping and praying that it'll get to that point. But glad to have platforms like radio that are offering The Hip Hop Floor a radio show. And I mean, this is an events concept.
Sure.
It reminds me again, like Pop Bottles was an events concept, and Lyonnais, it gave birth to the Popcast, which was its own,
it became a whole lifestyle
podcast. And so growing into, you know, bigger and more platforms, I think that's really, really important for the genre. And also just for creating more space for people trying to get in. You know, Bare, open up the industry. Those are the channels. You don't have to be a DJ. You can become a hip-hop content creator.
Absolutely.
A hip-hop fashionista, and the list goes on. So it's really, really crucial for the game. Absolutely.
So I can't not ask you about this because a lot of your fans probably keep asking you this.
Yeah.
What happened with the music?
Okay, I'm going to be honest.
Yeah.
You know, and it's something I've never necessarily said on a public platform.
Sure.
I love DJing more than making music.
That's both me and you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not really in the business of producing and making music.
Then you must promote it, and then you must go on the road,
no.
And then you must do interviews. And
nah.
It's a whole new career.
Yeah. Literally.
Yeah.
You know? And funny enough, and we're talking about Dimples, Roman. There was someone who could sit in studio with artists, coordinate, and focus on making music.
Yeah.
And I don't really have that in me.
Yeah.
And that's really the short story there. I prefer to play your music. Please, artists, give me your music. I'll
sure.
play it. I want to play it. That's really what I want to do.
Would you say there is a formula or secret to your relevance and longevity, as it were?
No.
That you are... If there's an event, if there's a hip-hop DJ, chances are it's you.
Yeah, funny enough, there isn't, hey?
Mm-hmm.
I boil that down to less than five things, you know?
Yeah.
Literally, never screw up relationships.
Yeah.
I think that build, on its own.
Build those bridges.
Well, I want to build those bridges and never burn them. Literally, in fact, if I was to give anyone advice in jail, well, one of those relationships are everything. Mm. I'm here today. Not because I'm doing anything cool and great on the socials, or I've got an album, music.
You're not a TikToker.
I'm not there.
Yeah.
But when I'm booked, I make sure that I'm a kick ass.
Yeah.
And through those relationships, people know, oh, look, if I need someone to deliver, I'm probably going to call Shake, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm grateful for being able to realize that early on in my career, knowing tomorrow, when the stars aren't necessarily aligning and the sun isn't shining, you know, in your backyard, those are the people who you're going to call,
yeah.
who you're going to need. And those are the people who are going to remember you, because you were talking about days when you're not in the mood for people.
Yeah.
You have to go out there and still deal with people because this is what you signed up for in a way.
Absolutely.
And so you'll be glad, Jorge, I wasn't an asshole to that kid.
Yeah.
You know, who now owns a club,
yeah.
who now owns an agency. You know, I'm so glad, Jorlin, now I was able to cultivate those relationships. And just don't be a puss, man.
Yeah.
Literally.
And repeat bookings don't happen by accident.
No. They literally don't. And I think ultimately it's that. And it's because you deliver. And I think, you know, speaking of which, that's really the one thing you've always got to do.
Yeah.
They book you for a job. You've got to make sure that you deliver. And you basically make people dance every
Absolutely.
Single time, you know. And, you know, don't be too much of a diva. You know,
yes,
work with the people.
Absolutely.
Yep.
My dude, you might be going back to school. Let's talk about that quickly before I let you go.
I shouldn't have told you that. Yeah, well.
Yeah.
So.
I'm happy for you. I encourage yeah. people to stay improving themselves.
Yeah.
Stay upskilling yourself. This thing of, hey, so-and-so dropped out of school and their success.
Yeah.
Most people that dropped out of school and succeeded, that was anomalous.
Yeah.
It's not normal.
No.
You must educate yourself.
Absolutely.
Your brain must be leaking information.
Yes.
Is how much you should know.
Yes.
Even if you're not going to use it, you don't know when it's going to come in handy.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
And
you know,
if anything, the discipline it takes to go back to school and pass is the same discipline that you can apply in your career. There's always a win. There's always a win.
Yeah. You know, earlier on when I was younger, I thought, no, scale. You know, I'm
yeah.
doing my thing. I'm DJ Milkshake. I'm this. I'm that. I mean, looking back now, you know, it's not because, and,
sure.
you know, life is tough or it's bad. Or no, it's just, you know, it's a realization that, you know, education is that important.
Yeah.
We never stop learning.
Mm.
You know, we're listening to a voice note yet, Rihanna. You know, so much wealth of knowledge that I've taken from her being as a young, you know, up-and-coming female DJ, and a whole lot of young people that I'm learning from. And the older I grow, the older I realize how much I don't know, actually.
Yeah.
So I'm like, damn, let me go back to school. because I don't have it figured out and I don't know as much as I think I do.
Absolutely.
So I'm looking to do that just to become more of an OG, I guess, what they call
it. And there's a saying about, that's why it's called upskilling yourself. Do something that will give you the ability to do more or do better or be better at what you do already. Absolutely. Don't look at it as zgela. Look at it as the muscle that I'm training right now is upskill myself. How am I going to apply it and where am I going to apply it?
Absolutely.
Or am I going to be able to run faster if I'm training to be a runner?
Oh, yes.
Don't look at it as, hey, spine, man, gas.
No.
It's a skill. You'll live longer and hopefully have a better quality of life.
Absolutely.
Because you can charge more because you have more skill.
And do more.
Yeah.
I think ultimately for me, I know exactly why I'm trying to study what I'm going to study and what I'm going to do with it. Good, there's a whole plan.
There's a plan.
Around that. That's it. Not just because, I'm going to show people that I can graduate.
But also, you can go back to school and not tell people. There's also that. That's also allowed.
Well, yeah.
Don't make it a PR move sometimes. Just gala, no more. Bamakale when you get into the room and you know way more than they do.
Oh, yes.
So sometimes it's just move quietly and do your shit.
And grind it out.
So we went to Miami together. Was it 2010 or 2009?
I think both years.
And we were there. There was a whole ton of us. Mm. And one of the dudes who was on the trip, I don't think you were friends until this trip. And now you guys are like besties.
Yeah.
The most defining thing about Sheikh is his character. Intentional and consistent. And I think that's what makes him even a good friend. Two parallels, his consistency in doing what he loves most, which is DJing, but also sticking to hip-hop, regardless of the noise and distractions and, you know, what other guys were doing, he stuck to something that he loved. And I think he's the same guy when it comes to friendships. He does the same, which is what has sort of, you know, kept our friendship going. He's very kind, considerate. He's not judgmental. You know, that kind of friend where you can be vulnerable and talk to him and feel never judged. He, you know, that's from a friendship standpoint, that's what I've, you know, he's always provided for our friendship. But also he's got a soft side to him. You know, the guy cries. He tries too hard to hide his vulnerabilities. But, you know, because I know him, I know. The only thing that I'm waiting for is for him to get married one day, I guess. he makes a good uncle. He's very, very, very good with kids. And he's godfather to one of my kids. I've seen him. He's one of those guys that you can live with him, kids, and you know that they'll be okay. But overall, he's a good human being. And that's one thing I would always say about Sheikh. Amazing guy.
We all went to Miami. We all had a party. Monametsi was one of the... Monametsi was there with Chaos.
Yes.
And he was friends with Chaos.
Yeah.
But when we left Miami, you and Monametsi were probably better friends than Monametsi and Chaos were.
It was crazy.
And now you guys are best friends. You're one of his kids' godfathers.
Yeah, yeah.
Quickly, the importance of lasting relationships in your life.
Yeah, again, you know, I tend to find guys with weird personalities who are, you know, opposite.
Yeah.
You know, Mo, for example, you know, doesn't drink.
Mm.
He's boring. Boring, because he's not really as outgoing as the rest of us are, and he's always, you know, studying, doing those boring things. But we vibed, and there were certain conversations we had that really clicked. I think it kind of helps that we share a birthday. Certain, you know, personality traits we share, and I think the certain things that hit home that were, you know, quite special. And I just think through the years we bonded more as a brotherhood. And I think, you know, we've, you know, he's never necessarily done anything for me, like, yo, give me like a career changing break, whatever. He was just there for me as a person, as a friend. And I think I offered him the same.
Sure.
And for me, again, you know, it's, It's one of those things you look back in life and you're like, wow, you know, I have those people in my life that I can just speak to, I can connect with, and I can just be myself.
Sure.
Yeah. And be vulnerable and be anything, you know.
And, you know, there's something beautiful about friendships where you know you could ask this person literally for $1 million.
Yeah.
And they would make a plan, if they don't have it,
yep,
to find you $1 million.
Absolutely.
But you never ask them for that.
Yeah, he's one of those guys.
There's something beautiful about relating at that level with Oaks.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's one of those guys. You know, he's a big business guy. He's been doing his thing.
In fact, you are closer to him than I am to him.
Yeah.
But I remember we were doing prank calls on radio when I was at 947, where can we get friends of ours to show up?
Yeah.
And I called Mo. I was like, listen, dude, there's a property that I need $1 million to deposit on this property.
Yeah.
I need $1 million to deposit on this property or I'm going to lose it. You know, he said, let me see what I can do. I'm sure I can make it happen.
Yeah.
Mo is that guy.
Yeah, he probably would have. He probably would have.
And then I realized this is a prank call, but maybe let me stick to I need $1 million.
I actually believe that, 100%. Yeah. Because, like, it's strange how when you have those people in your camp, you think twice, thrice about asking them when you know it's them you should be asking.
I've got people like that in my circle that I will never, ever ask for anything. Yeah. But I know that they have precedence on speed dial.
Absolutely.
But I'll never, because that's not the relationship.
Absolutely.
The relationship is not about what I can mooch off you
or
what I can use from you.
Yeah.
Sometimes just being in the room together, just the two of us,
yes,
is all I needed.
That's it. And speaking of that friendship, that I care more for our friendship than
what he can offer you.
Meter or whatever it is in that case. For me, that's really that. Yeah,
sure.
Special.
Sheikh, thank you so much for your time.
Bro,
thanks for agreeing to do this. I know that you don't do a lot of these.
I don't. In fact, like Spitzer said, interviews, not really my thing, but I had to accept this one. This was special to me. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, this was me just saying we see you.
Thank you.
We know who the fuck you are. We'll never forget who the fuck you are. And we'll continue to remind people who the fuck you are. That is why we had this chat.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Ladies and gentlemen, DJ Milkshake. And yes, he still brings all the girls to the yard. Coming to you from AMP Studios, this is Wow What a Week. We're part of the Africa Podcast Network. Email us at waw@africapodcastnetwork.com. Shout out to Trevor and the crew at Pezulu Works for all of the cinematography, our executive producer, Kiletso Modisa Geng, our shadow. He's one of our interns. DJ Latty is one of our interns. So one or two questions from here might or might not be in from him. But shout out to you, my dude. And we are done. We'll see you again next week. Thank you for tuning in. Until next week, have a wow week in spite of yourselves.